Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode.
I'm saying this in a celebratory way, but also with a few tears in my eye. The 360 sold.
No, it's sold. I mean, the whole car community know it's sold.
Bloody hell. I mean, actually, ladies and gentlemen, you crashed the Collecting Cars website last night.
Yeah.
As the auction for my Ferrari 360 ended, so many people logged on to witness the end of the auction that you crashed the site. So, Tony, you're probably not wrong to say that a lot of the car community are aware that it's sold.
Well, they are.
But yeah, my God, I'm not going to name the buyer. He wants to remain anonymous, but he is actually a listener of this podcast. Paid top dollar for my car. What an absolute hero.
An absolute congratulations to him. And actually, I have mobbed that car, mate, and gone in on it several times and actually nearly died in it once. But he has bought a really lovely example of a 360 Modena. And that's partly credit to you because you maintained it. Is it prestigiously?
Prestigiously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
You actually got me a little bit emotional then. I was like, Tony, saying nice things about the 360. I'm like, I'm getting really teary-eyed, but...
Yeah. It's yeah. Still a pile of shit. It's a nice
somebody
one.
Else's pile of shit, man. So, yeah, just to recap, in case you missed last week's episode, which I don't think, you regular listeners would have, because it was very, we got great listener numbers last week, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
The car went up at Collecting Cars. Sort of auction started slow-ish, kind of got up to like the mid-40s by midweek, and then it kind of stalled out. And then at some point, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I got a text from the Collecting Cars team saying, big bid has just come in. Go check it out. So I opened the page and I was like, 70 grand? I was like, hello. Like, I knew it was worth that. Wasn't sure anyone else would think so. Yeah. And they were like, we're just checking it out because it had jumped from, I think, 47 and a half. Then a bid came in from 65. And then that same bidder then bid himself up to 70k, and they were that's a little unusual, so we're just going to check it out. And also, it's a big leap, like, bear with us. And I was like, oh, please don't be a hoax, because like, I'm really excited now.
Please don't be Tony. Can you imagine if it was me?
You idiot, no one's paying this much. But no, they'd said, look, it all seems legit. And actually, the guy then DM'd me on Instagram a few days later, and like, you know, I was like, look, I keep my fingers crossed for you. But he was like, look, just so you know, it was just fully intentional. Essentially, his tactic, as far as I understood it, was, I really want the car, and I kind of just want to end things early. Like, I want to bid it sort of strongly enough that everyone else is going to go, I'm out, fine, like, let's just watch it go, like, good on that guy. Mm-hmm. So I think his initial bid was the 65K, and then he kind of got a bit nervous and thought, ooh, maybe that's not going to be enough to really, like, ward people off, so I'll go 70. And good on him, because I actually got two emails post that from people saying that their max bids were going to be 60, well, one was 64 and one was 65K.
So he wouldn't have bought it.
Or if he left it at 65, it could have got a bit juicy at the end, but he made the right tactic for him, and he wanted the car, because apparently he's watched a lot of the adventures. He's listened to the podcast. He felt attached to the car, understood its maybe... Well, he had more... He got the sentimental value for him. The sentimental value for him. So I think, let's be honest, he has paid top dollar. I paid top dollar for that car 6 years ago. He's paid top dollar, but he's very happy to have done so.
Yeah.
And I'm ecstatic that he's done so.
And I'm glad he feels like some sort of attachment to it, because I've been in it and never felt attached to it. I mean, I thought it was going to fall apart.
Hey, no. Don't say that. Don't say that.
No, honestly, it is a... Like I just said, it's a really, really lovely example. And I'm pleased it's obviously gone to a good home.
Yeah, all jokes aside, for me, it was literally the best scenario, because I know that car is going to be cherished and loved and continued to be driven the way that I've driven it. It's going to be taken on adventures. The owner's got plans to take it to different places. Oh, I'm totally going to use it. Also means that I can stay in touch with them in case I... regret the decision and want to buy it back. I'm obviously going to have to pay even top dollar at that point. He's really got me over the barrel at that stage.
He's done you in.
Yeah, he maybe that's his tactic. Maybe he knew Sam's going to regret this and want it back at some point, so I'll make sure he has to pay loads. But no, see, it makes the whole situation actually dreamier than I could have ever imagined. So I'm super, super happy. I think the car will be handed over later this week. For all of those conspiracy theorists, I don't know why I did this, but during the week, I really allowed myself to get into the dark corners of the web, reading forums and comment threads about the car and
you.
The list. I never do this.
No.
But a few people had sent me links and I ended up on a Pistonheads thread, and I left it up on some Twitter thread, and even the comments on the listing of collecting cars. Oh, the internet just annoys me sometimes. Like,
it's vile.
Everyone was like, you know, he's being paid by collecting cars. They're bidding up on purpose. Like, oh, he's scamming people. It clearly needs a new clutch and he can't afford it, so that's why he's selling it, and he's going to pretend like it doesn't need one. And the best one I saw was I thought this was Forever Car. Clearly, YouTubers will do anything just for a few views.
We've had it... I mean, wait a minute.
6 years. 30,000 miles. Driven it... Well, part of the Mille Mille tribute. Driven it all across Europe into Africa. I mean...
I bet you spent 40 grand maintaining it.
And literally, I have always, always, always said there is only one reason why I would ever sell the 360... And in last week's podcast, I clarified that is my intention to replace it at some point with a Challenge Stradale. Like, oh, that just rocked. You can see it pushed a button, didn't it? That comment, I was just like, oh, come on. Like,
leave me alone.
There is one car that has not followed the cliched YouTuber, what's it called, pattern.
Yeah.
Surely it's that car. Like, I will admit I've done cliched YouTuber things in my life, and heck, I am a YouTuber, so I'm not
a saint.
Yeah, I'm not a saint. But surely that's the one car that has had a bit of a different vibe to it. So anyway, look, long story short, let's not get caught up on the negativity. Very positive experience. Huge thanks to Collecting Cars for... It did end up being the perfect place to sell it because of what we said. Because of that, that guy knew that he was prepared to pay a little bit extra because it was my car. He's witnessed what it's done. He knew everything it's been going through. That wouldn't have happened if I just shoved it up for sale with you. We would have to have figured out a price. We weren't going to do the POA, price on application. We would have had to put a price up, and we might have undersold it, because I think realistically, I probably would have listed it. I would have forced you to list it at like 62, 63, maybe even 65 grand. You would have gone, it's never going to sell.
Well... Yeah, I would have said that, but my biggest reservation selling that car would have been trying to put a warranty on it.
Well,
from my point of view, from a dealer's point of view,
very good point.
I have a liability, so
you do.
That's
it. Would have been fine. Car's in great shape. Orders just serviced it. Literally,
perfect.
He's a joker, that man.
Yeah.
I sent him the car saying, look, can you do the handover because I'm going away, and just give the car a quick once over just to make sure it's in good shape for whoever's going to pick it up. And he texted me going, just serviced it, replaced two ball joints, won't need any work for 12 months. I was like,
oh, lovely.
I mean, mate, you could have made some money there.
Oh, good.
Should have unscrewed some stuff so that whenever the buyer came, he went, oh, well, we're going to have to fix that.
What a nice man.
He's just a hero, that man. And don't worry, he will continue to appear on the channel with whatever my next car will be. And actually,
I didn't think you serviced Romas.
Don't, because a lot of people are still on the Roma chat. Just on that, so the Challenge Stradale hunt, I suppose. There is a Challenge Stradale coming up on Collecting Cars in like a few weeks. Well, I guess, watch this space. My big thing is, right-hand drive cars, they feel out of, like, impossible. Like, they're circa 200 odd grand, I think. Left-hand drive cars just aren't coming to the market. I am sort of spec specific. I have a sort of idea of what I want. I mean, I know you're all going to send me Challenge Drive links because you are. But anyway, look, the 360's gone. I'm now in a position to move forward. So I'll keep you up to date. Watch this space. Hopefully it's not going to be long. There'll be news to share. I'm sure there'll be news to share. Anyway, shall we move away from the 360?
Yeah.
I actually wanted to talk about the market in general, really, because aside from my car, and actually reading a lot of those comments on the Pistonheads forum and Twitter threads, the market in general is down. I think a lot of people were like, wow, that's a lot of money, especially in this market, was the comment I saw a lot of.
Mm.
And in recent weeks and months, on Collecting Cars, on Bonhams the Market, on these kind of auction sites, because auctions, I think, are the interesting way to analyze it, right? If you look at auto trader listings, no matter what the market's doing, people can still advertise cars for whatever they like.
We can, yeah.
But at least an auction shows you what cars are theoretically selling for in any one moment. So talk to me, where are you at? What are you finding? How do you analyze the market? And what I want to know is, what are the juicy bargains at the
Well, long story short, in general, it's hard at the moment, mate. Mm. But I think it's hard in a lot of industries, not just our industry. It's just genuinely hard. What makes it worse is that this quarter of the year is historically not very good anyway.
But hold on a sec. I'm going to flip reverse this on you.
Yeah.
Because you're talking as a seller and as a dealer.
Yeah.
Let's think of it as a buyer.
But I am a buyer.
Ah, yes, fair enough.
I buy more cars than anyone.
Yes, that's a very good point. Okay, yeah. So is it tough on a buyer's? Because I see this as the land of opportunity. Do you mean it? Like a Lusso, V12 Lusso, green and tan, went on Collecting Cars, 130 odd grand.
Yeah.
What a car. They're like usually like 190, 200. So I'm like, oh, I should keep my eyes peeled here because I can pick up, I don't know, a Cayman R for 25 grand. Oh, yeah, woo.
Which sounds like too much money to me. But.
No, Cayman R's are like 50 grand these days.
Lovely.
Yeah. Like, so you're, it's bad news even in the world of buying, you think?
Well, we are, as you know, we're a holder of stock.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously our stock depreciates, but so does every other car in the country. So when we sell that depreciating stock, because that's what happens, we then buy at not the same price that we bought the previous car for.
Sure.
So the everyone suffers. The general public suffers. The dealers suffer.
But at what point? Because, okay, fine. So let's take Cayman R, for example. No, let's take that. Okay, let's just take a car, for example.
A car?
Let's think of a car that's like a bargain, represents a bargain. Like, let's say you bought a Cayman GT4, 718 generation, for 60 grand, 50 grand?
60 grand? No chance.
Okay.
718 GT4s.
Help me out here.
They're still 80.
Fine. Okay.
Retail.
Fine.
Yeah.
So let's say you somehow get one for 75. Someone wants a quick fire sale. No one's paying attention. You're in on an auction. Boom. 75 grand.
Well done.
Good for them, right? So
good
it's
for
not
them.
All a disaster. There are actually opportunities out there.
Yeah. And what we always find as well is that people, when the market starts to deteriorate, there's still people out there, but they watch a lot more than they actually do. So they just watch the market and they see if the car's going to keep getting reduced. So in years gone by, the public have had the power, obviously. And then we had the power as dealers when there was a shortage of cars because we had the product and there was more punters than there were cars. So the cars went up. Now it's gone back the other way around again. So the punter has the power again. And 99% of the time in our industry, the punter does have the power because there's more cars than there are people. But that's the same with everything that, you know, it's the same with clothes, it's the same with food, it's the same. When there's a shortage of something, the prices go up. When there's not a shortage, they come down.
So, again, I'm selfishly asking you these questions. What are the bargains that you're seeing? What have you seen rapidly fall in the last 3 or 4 months?
Range Rovers.
big new Range Rovers?
All of them, mate.
Really?
Yeah. There's another reason for that, which you're actually probably going to... It's a little bit of a topic today. We'll talk about that later. But Range Rovers have taken a huge kick in. And 911s.
Interesting.
Yeah, 992s.
Okay, so let's go to the Range Rovers first. So the big new Range Rovers, when they first came out, they seemed to all go straight onto the used market for 30 or 40 grand over list.
Oh, mate. This was last year or even we had couple of the early cars, and we got 45 grand over for one and 50 grand over list for the other one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there were just tons of them on the market all the time, right?
There wasn't when we had our ones, but then it's a very small window. And it's the same with the sports when they first come out as well. A mass-produced car, there's a really tiny window where you can make a little bit of money. And then the bottom falls out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Same with that new M2 that I had.
Sure.
I had a very, very early car. I made a little bit of money on, not loads, but I made a little bit of money on them. Now the bottoms fall out of them.
So big Range Rovers are now under list?
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Because the waiting times is still, I think, 18 months odd if you're ordering a new Range Rover. I might have misquoted that, by the way, so feel free to fact check me. But yeah, I think if you're going to go into a dealer and order a brand new big Range Rover now, let's say at least a year.
I think it's a year.
Let's say at least a year. Yeah. So if you're impatient, can you go and buy a relatively low mileage used example for underlist, or are you still paying over list price? Well,
probably as a consumer... They might be list or a little bit over, but as a dealer, we have a margin.
Sure.
So, you know, I have this conversation with people every day about, you know, oh, I've seen them on the internet. I've got a brand new... I literally had a guy call me Thursday last week and said, I've got a new, brand new Range Rover Sport, 400E hybrid thing. It's coming in about 3 weeks. Do you want it? I said, well, do you want to lose any money on it? And he said, no, at least want my money back. I said, well, you cancel it then. I've got to have a margin.
Of course.
And what the general public obviously have to realise as well is that when the demand comes off, the dealer margins get bigger because they have to, because we hold the stock for longer. That's exactly why we have a dealer margin, because cars depreciate. So
yeah, so if the car is worth 100 grand to a buyer, you're going to buy it at 80 because it might sit on your forecourt for 4 months, and in that time it will depreciate.
It's all an average, mate. I mean, I'd like to buy a car for 80 grand and sell it for 100. It's sure. not quite that no, much no. But yeah, but I know
but that
mean.
That margin is there because if it ends up on the forecourt for 4 months and then does depreciate to being worth 90
or less, you've done your money
fine.
So then at that point you're then holding a big asset that's then minus. It's in the other way around.
Because you're losing money.
You're losing money because, as well, going to a little bit deeper, obviously, most dealers have money costs. Mm-hmm. And even if you use your own money, there's still a cost to that money that you're using. So most dealers have what we call unit stocking, so stocking facilities. Mm-hmm. So we pay a daily charge for the money that we're using. All dealers with decent stock, they'll have that facility because most people don't fund it on their own. So it's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
So all the time the car's in stock, there's a daily charge for a percentage of the money that the car's got borrowed on it.
Okay, so then to flip it back to the general punters, to buyers, to our listeners who, you know, obviously coming to maybe looking to buy a car.
Yeah.
Actually, if a car's been listed with a dealer for a long period of time, is it harder for a customer to kick you in the balls because you're already losing money? So, for example, if you've got a 20 grand margin in a car, I know you don't ever have a 20 grand margin in a car, but let's pretend you did. Someone could come along and maybe just be a really good haggler, or you just want to get rid of the car and somehow manage to get 10 grand under your asking price. I'm just making all of these figures up, by the way. However, if you've held that car for 6 months and it's now 5 grand or 10 grand in the red, as in you've lost money on it, they're never going to be able to come and go, well, you've had it for 6 months, so I'm going to offer you 20 grand under what you're asking, because clearly you just want to get rid of it. Because is that Am I making any sense here? So
well, you are. The numbers are extreme, but you are making sense. So basically, every dealer on how they evaluate stock, depending on normally the size and whether it's a dealer group, they have policies in place of stock holding. So the powers of the internet now, whether we like it or not, when you can see that from a positive or a negative, is that everything's there to see. There's no such thing as marking cars up anymore. We used to drive around a showroom and before the internet, and people would mark the cars up. They put them up at way too much money. You can't really do that anymore because of the internet. You can, everything's on a piece of paper. You can see it. It's all in front of you.
Sure.
So you, as far as I'm concerned, cars sell on price. I am more or less an internet business, and that's how I sell my cars. So, but if a car's been in stock a long time, then you have to take a view on it.
Yeah.
Because you take a view on it because, one, you want the money back, and you want to buy the next bit of stock at the lower price because the prices have changed. So it really all depends on the dealer. Some dealers have got really aggressive stock policies where the cars have to go, they're run by accountants, the big dealer groups, and they have a 90-day stock policy, and the cars have to go. They just get rid of them, even they get rid of them in the trade. So we buy cars within the network where they could have been advertised at another dealer for 90 or 120 days, and they just come out of them, and they blow a load of money on them just to come out of them and refresh the stock.
Okay.
I don't necessarily do that because I'm a most smaller independent dealers, they don't do that because they take a view on it differently. So, but then you switch it on its head and you go, well, actually, why am I reducing my cars anyway? Because it's so quiet, there's no punters out there, which is what's going on at the moment. It is just genuinely quiet out there. So
just sit tight, basically, and wait for the punters to come back.
You're carrying your overheads, aren't you? So you need to try and do something, but it's a double-edged sword, mate, because sometimes it doesn't matter how cheap a car is. If there's no punter for it, you're not going to sell it, are you? Yeah. So
I think there's always a thought as a casual buyer or as an observer that, oh, if a car's been with a dealer for a long time, that's when I've got the chance to kind of go in and go, well, you haven't sold it for ages, so I'm going to just be really aggressive here. But actually, you might have less of a chance if a car's been with a dealer for longer.
Do you know what? The perception of the general public is always weird because people think you put a car up for sale and if it doesn't sell within the first week, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, okay.
And the average stock turn for a lot of dealers in the country is between 50 and 60 days.
Okay.
So it's not uncommon for people to hold stock for 2 months. It's not uncommon. It was uncommon in COVID times. You know, I think the average went down to like 15 days. And I'm talking probably as an average right across the board.
Sure.
Some of the bigger stuff takes longer. And as well, if you put a car up for sale and there's a punter, you only want one bloke, and there's a punter for that particular car, you're going to sell it.
Yeah.
But if you've just got a generic car, a normal Fiesta.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And there's millions of them, but there ain't millions of people. You're not going to sell it, are you?
Sure.
So that's basically how it works.
Okay, well, write that stuff down, everyone. Let's go back to the cars.
I'll do a whole episode on these. Yeah. Fucking hell.
No, because what I think is so fascinating is obviously you have an insane insight in the way that you run your businesses. I think no one has a real understanding of or an appreciation of. As a punter,
yeah.
The way I analyze things is completely different to the actual reality of them. And I think there's often a lot of misconceptions or myths or presumptions about the market. As you say, sale or return cars at high list price. Well, that must be what they're worth, or what car's advertised and then what actually it owes the dealer or the seller. Yeah. But then also, as I say, I always had it in my mind of, oh, well, if a car's been up for sale with a dealer for a long period of time, then I've got a much better chance of going in and offering them very low money because they're going to be desperate to want to sell it.
It's up to the dealer.
Of course.
It's up to the individual.
But as you've just explained as well, there's a sort of sliding scale going on there. So actually, you know, anyway, long story short, it's not always as it seems.
No.
When it comes to, you know, our different points of view. But yeah. So, big Range Rovers, theoretically to an average punter, somewhere near list price now rather than big overs.
Yeah.
992s, all 992 911s, you think of?
Yeah, definitely the S's.
Turbo S's are down at what? 130 or for a heavily used car, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, there's 180 of them on the market.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a lot of Turbo S's. I mean, yeah. Some of them are up at 200 grand still, yeah, you know? Yeah. So, there has to be an adjustment. So,
GT4 RS's?
They've all come off, mate.
GT4 RS's have written
our cars have come off.
Not our cars.
Yep.
Our cars have gone up.
Do you know what hasn't really come off? Pistas.
488 Pistas.
They're still 300 grandish. They are softening. 296s are having a bath.
Yeah, oh, 296s are really in trouble.
Yeah, they're having a bath. But Pistas are fairly... Norm 488s,
sure,
they're okay. F8s have had a bit of a bath.
Any mid-level stuff, anything that sort of, I mean,
all making, of it,
all of it,
all of it. My M3 Touring's had a bath.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
M3 Touring's
big bath.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, really deep one.
And just for any non-Cockney listeners, having a bath means
Big depreciation.
There we go, thank you.
Yeah.
We do have some international listeners.
Oh, sorry.
Just to clarify, them. I obviously understood what having a bath meant.
Yeah, you didn't do know me.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what a monkey was.
I still don't.
500 quid.
Thank you. Well, look, one of the reasons you hinted at, which is what I really want to get into, for the big Range Rover coming down, is insurance.
Yeah.
Now, I was kind of fuming because my insurance renewal came through a couple of weeks ago. And not only had it gone up by, I don't know, like 1,500 quid, but it meant to insure the 360 and the GT3, it was going to be like, I think, nearly $7,000. Like something, and just to clarify, that is insanely expensive for those two cars.
Yeah.
Historically, in my head, and clearly not correctly, because it was only a 1,500 quid increase, I'm used to paying, like, I would say $3,000-$3,500 to insure my cars in central London. That always felt like a lot, but that's kind of what I was kind of used to with.
Well, I mean, from the cars that I've had over the years, that is a lot, mate.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, I mean,
I do live in central London, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I live in London as well.
No, I live in very central London.
Well, you live in Surrey. Central London in Surrey.
Tony's favourite thing to wind me up about. So I was always aware that I was firstly paying for a top dollar insurer, but that's because also what I do here, they also protected me in other ways. So I was paying a lot, but then suddenly this felt like basically double in my head. So I went on this big fuming rage, found out firstly I was with the wrong insurer and I could save at least half if I shopped around. But no matter what, insurance had just absolutely spiked. And so because of this, I did some research. And it turns out in 2023, car insurance went up an astonishing 58% over the last 12 months. The average cost of a comprehensive car insurance policy is now £1,000, just under 924, an increase of £338 over the last year. Now, this is a seemingly, you know, across the country.
Where's the 58% come from then? Did you say over 3 years, did you say? 58%?
No, 58% is over the last 12 months.
Right, but you said it's gone up by 300 quid. That's not 58% then, from 700 to 4,000.
The average cost has gone up. The average cost has gone from 900, has gone up £338 to 924 quid.
Yeah, but so it would have been 600 quid originally. So that's not 58%.
What? 600 quid originally, gone up by 338. So it's increase.
Sorry. Yeah, it is. Yes. Sorry. It's the 50%.
Bloody hell. Now I'm worried about everything you just said for the let's edit well.
No, it is. Yes. Sorry. That's me. Flip it. That's unlike me.
So apparently, men have been hit the hardest. It's a change for 2023. Young drivers actually hit even harder. Drivers aged 18 paid nearly $3,000 on average, more than triple the national average. It's also an 89% increase on the previous year.
Wow.
So I nearly marched on Parliament as a sort of campaign that this is a big...
On your own?
Con. Yeah, basically. and then I thought, hold on a sec, no, let's talk about it on the podcast. So I know why people are claiming insurance has gone up, but... Where does this sit with you, Tony? Were you aware of this? What are your thoughts on it? Do you have any reasons as to why you think it might have happened?
Well, overall, by the way, my insurance has gone down over the last year.
Who are you with?
Yeah.
So who are you with? Let's give them some plugs. Come on, I want to join up.
My business insurance has gone down. Okay, I've had to add some extra security and I've got some different stipulations to add to my old ones. But it has... actually gone down considerably as well.
Bloody
as
hell.
In not a few hundred.
But that's business car insurance.
That's my work insurance.
Oh, let's just talk about car insurance. I don't know about other insurance. This is...
Well, I do.
This is car insurance.
Well, I don't know a minute. What do I do for a living?
No, I know, but that's business.
But it's car insurance, no? So, I mean, I sell cars.
Business car insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. You said, no, it's business insurance.
Well, yeah, it is business insurance, but it's business car insurance. Yeah. That's what I mean. I didn't think I'd have to say business car insurance.
Insuring you to drive a car.
Yes.
Okay, fine. I thought it was insuring your business, because of course you can have separate business.
Well, it's all on it. It's all in one, mate. You get tailored insurance.
Okay, what about your personal car insurance?
I got a bit of a confession, because... Historically, over the last few years, my insurance was horrendously cheap, to the point where I thought, flipping hell, how can it be that cheap?
Something's not right.
Yeah. And my personal insurance was due for renewal in July. I get a letter in June. It says, Mr. Denard, due to circumstances and a change of policy within the insurance group, we are not going to reinsure you, so you've got to get new insurance. Because what they've done is, mate, they've taken a valuation of their supercar sector, realised that they were way too cheap, and just completely cut the market. So we're not doing that market anymore because our...
Fair enough.
Yeah. So
we were totally screwing it up. Yeah.
So then I had to have a shop around.
Okay.
Which I did.
Sure.
But and I've got...
So you've had to go up. You've had to...
So it has gone up.
Okay.
But not life-changing. I mean... I managed to...
You're not getting ripped off like I was.
No, but I'm still not getting ripped off now, to be fair. I'm with Admiral now.
Fair. Toot-toot.
Toot-toot, yeah. And that it was more expensive, but it's still, I consider, like, reasonable, not unreasonable. You know, like, just, oh, I'm not paying that. You know what I mean?
Which was mine.
Yeah.
Has been mine for the last 5 years. I've just been scammed is what I worked out. I've essentially been scammed. And I was just like, oh, sure, okay, fine. That sounds normal to me.
Yeah.
£40,000, why not?
Yeah.
Please.
So it was fine. And I've only got the one car, I've only got the GT3 now, so everything else is on the business insurance, yeah.
Okay, so then why are you thinking that insurance has gone up so much for the nation?
Well, it's a pot of money. So basically, the insurance bureau or whatever they're called, they all work off a great big pot of money. So what's obviously happened is that that pot of money has diminished over the last year, and they need to pass that on to the consumer. I think they're taking the piss a little bit, because as we've seen with the oil companies and the energy companies and the food companies, they always put a bit more on for themselves. But obviously, there's been a lot more claims. And when we talk about Range Rovers, I mean, there are many insurance companies in London. If you live in London, or you have a BR postcode or a Surrey postcode, forget insuring a Range Rover. Or if you are going to get insured, it's many thousands of pounds.
Yeah, I know many people who've had insurance simply refused for a new Range Rover in Central London because they're stolen so regularly.
All the while.
And actually, generic car crime, I think in London, but also city centres in the UK, and I guess Europe, has increased so much. And we see it across social media a lot at the moment, of cars being stolen, trackers being deactivated, all these kind of things, car vandalism. And therefore, I understand why insurers are increasing their premiums on street parked, or even just any London.
Their liabilities change,
mate. It for sure is much higher risk. And let's not forget the price of vehicles has increased. So they're now having to insure more expensive vehicles in more uncertain times. So I don't I get that. I expect it. If I'm sitting here watching cars getting broken into and nicked and hearing from all my friends that cars are being stolen, okay, fine, insurance in Central London is going to go up. I get it. But 58% year on year seems really extreme. And actually, the research is pointing its fingers in another direction.
All right, well, let's use an example, right? Let's flip it on its head, right? Let's look at it and the fact that cars are more expensive now, which means they're going to be, if they're stolen, they're going to pay out more. Or fixing them. It's just going to cost more money, right? So let's do an example. The old shape BMW M4 was 55 grand for a new one.
Sure.
A new one is 85 grand. So it's 30 grand more. So how much has got that gone up by? Nearly, that's over 50% that's gone up by.
Okay.
So that's probably, I mean, they are putting a bit on top of the insurance companies, but as cars get more expensive, they become naturally more expensive to repair, and insurance premiums have got to go up.
Yeah, but I think, as you say, it seems that they're pushing it to an extreme. That's a very good point, actually. It is a very good point. Costs all around are increasing.
Everywhere.
And also, let's not forget, part supply issue. Yeah. So there's a delay on getting hold of parts
that's
to repair
less
things.
Less so now, by the way.
Less so?
It's still a little bit of a problem, but that's another thing as well. So the older cars are getting nicked all the while because there was a parts problem. So they're nicking them and breaking them up and selling the used parts.
So across the board, car thefts are up.
Of course.
So again, the insurance has to go higher.
Yep.
And also, we all need insurance. Like, I don't know how it works in different countries around the world.
Well, not everyone does, but yeah, 99% of us don't.
In the UK, at least, you're insuring the car, right? I get so confused. Because in America, you insure your personal liability.
The car has to be insured.
So yeah, the car in the UK is insured. Yeah. You are a named driver on the policy. Yeah. It is the car that is insured. I know in different countries that's different. I'm pretty sure in America you have personal liability and then another, what liability?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's your insurance, not the car's insurance. But in the UK, it's the car. So it does make sense, therefore, that as you say, the prices increase. However, here we go. This is a bit of research. This was on confused.com. There was another
stat?
Yeah, another article in the Independent, actually, which cited, this is the same. It's the same research. So, confused.com. Let me see. Price rises. Insurance, where was the thing? Where is it? Why has car insurance gone up? There are several reasons why car insurance prices have gone up so much recently. Firstly, the continued rise of electric vehicles means an increase in expensive technological advanced cars. SMMT reports that registrations for battery EVs have increased by almost 36% compared to last year, with some manufacturers stating that they're only going to make EVs in the future. This will likely continue to rise, despite the Prime Minister's announcement on ban of selling new petrol diesel cars will be delayed. These EVs come with, firstly, a higher price tag and enhanced technology, so cost more to repair after an accident. Also, the supply chain is still feeling the effects of the pandemic, so there are often delays and backlogs for EV repairs. The expense of EVs has led many drivers to turn to second-hand cars. Because of this, they're keeping their value longer. Debatable. This means more expensive cars, more expensive claims for the insurers if the car is written off or stolen. This pushes up insurance costs for other drivers. Add to that the overall increase in claims following the pandemic. Interesting. It could also explain why car insurance is so high. This despite the fact that the FCA introduced rules in 2022 to ensure fairer insurance prices.
And I think the biggest problem with EVs as well is no bugger fixes them.
Well, yeah, so my neighbour was complaining about this. My lovely neighbour with her MG said that because with the Abarth loan I had in, she was asking me some questions and I said, oh, it's, you know, it's so great, but, you know, it's 40 grand, it's kind of expensive and blah, blah. She goes, well, the thing is, her car wasn't the MG, but it was so expensive to insure. And you told me a similar story before. And yeah, she said it was three times the price of her previous Civic that she had.
Yeah, I mean, I literally called you up last week and told you a brief story about someone I know that runs a Tesla, bought it brand new last year. Elon Musk, being the genius that he is, said you got a year's free insurance for a reason. He goes to insure it this year. It was $2,500. Wow. And he said, I mean, he thought he'd made a mistake. I mean,
sounds like he spoke to my broker.
He's a 40-odd-year-old man and never had any claims, blah, 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 blah. So he thought, this can't be right. I mean, I haven't done anything wrong. So he punched a normal combustion car. I think it was a Porsche.
Sure.
Plugged in. £600.
Wow.
So it's literally because of the Tesla, because no one fixes them. They're really expensive to repair. Crash damage ones, yeah, obviously. Yeah, yeah. And they're expensive to replace.
It's very interesting. We'd love to know in the comment section below, what have you found? Has your insurance gone through the roof? Have you had any insane quotes like I've had for renewing your insurance? Have you had to sell your car because of the insurance? Because I think this is what's going to be happening. I think we've seen it with the Range Rovers. You mentioned it.
Huge.
People are taking delivery of their cars or ordering them, calling up the insurance, and the insurance goes, we're not going to
even worse than that, people that own Range Rovers, I can't tell you how many calls I've had over the last 3 or 4 months, and a lot of the dealers that may listen will verify this. The amount of Range Rover customers that currently own cars insured, their insurance companies won't renew the insurance, so they're having to sell them.
Wow.
which is the big reason why they're depreciated so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a glut of them come on the market.
The market gets flooded with cars that people can't insure. I mean, it's such a seismic issue because, as I say, I mean, we're cost of living crisis, but if you're going to have a car, you have to insure it.
Yeah.
And as the push goes to have cleaner, greener cars, hybrids, newer technology, EVs, or I think that article was wrong by saying used values are increasing, but in general,
it's probably like written a year ago.
If the insurance, it's a very new article.
No.
If the insurance is going to add to our cost, it's going to, people are going to have to step away from cars more and more. You know, it's an added cost that so many people aren't going to be able to afford if they're increasing this much. And that's going to get into your favourite topic, the economy. That's going to affect things pretty hard then if people aren't able to move around.
Well, that's another episode.
Get to work.
Flipping hell. I mean, I just got a rabble on for an hour about that.
That's when we'll get our local MP to join us.
Yes, get him in.
But I genuinely think this is a con. And I think I can understand some of the logic. Now we've talked through it. Okay, fine. I realise that prices are going to have to increase somewhat.
Of course.
And you're right. Shop around is the key thing. There are still some sensible insurers out there offering reasonable-ish prices. But for everyone, it's another significant increase into the cost of living that I just think is, well, a little bit of taking advantage of the consumer.
But by the way, we are having a little bit of a downturn. The whole country's having a bit of a downturn at the moment. And if we were all having it off and all earning loads of money, this would never be a problem.
Sure.
It's like when you've got one problem, you always end up having 10 because everything comes at once, right?
Of course.
So things will get better because the world, we'll live in a different world again. So we won't be talking about this in 6 months' time because...
I hope not.
Well, it might be a bit longer than 6 months, but in general, everyone is feeling the squeeze, aren't they?
Sure.
Across the board, you know, if it's insurance 1 week, it's food the next, it's clothes the week after, then it's fuel, then it's I've lost my job. And, you know, there's always something. And, it's you know, interest rates, my mortgage has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is doom and gloom at the moment. But trust me, mate, this happens every 10 or 15 years. We've had a lovely run. We're now suffering a bit. But it always comes back.
And there's always things to look forward to, like our live events in Australia, which are just a few weeks away.
I might emigrate there, I live there.
Oh my God. Hey, I talked to a guy who's doing that. What? Listener of the podcast, he's moving to Sunshine Coast.
What's the economy like there?
Well, apparently his school fees are freaking half what they were here.
Really?
Yeah. Private school. Yeah, if I'll tell you the fees afterwards, you'll be moving to Australia in a heartbeat.
That's everything safe for me.
Literally,
I'm safe.
Done. But yes, there's just around the corner. Joke aside for a second, if you are an insurance company and you genuinely want to put yourself forward because you think you can offer our listeners, I don't know what, good rates or reasonable rates or fair rates, do get in touch because we are keen, actually. I mean, Tony mentioned Admiral.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at Admiral as well. There was another one who got recommended me to the other day. I don't know, but we are keen to try and push people in the right direction. But I won't compare the market.
Yeah.
I chucked it in. Admiral was one of the most competitive for me. And there was another one that I hadn't heard of. Anyway, so...
Or if you're one of the big CEOs for one of the big insurance companies, you want a headline sponsor, you are more than welcome.
Oh, well, yeah, that, of course. Oh, yeah, if you want to chuck us a load of money, then I'll happily pay my $7,000 renewal. That's easy peasy. But like I said, we're off to Australia any second now. We've got a live event this Sunday. Those of you coming to Australia, just a reminder, or not coming to Australia, coming to our events in Australia, just a reminder, you do not need a ticket for the cars and coffee element of our event. You can just rock up. Turn up unannounced. We'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you. You only need a ticket if you want to join us inside for these podcast recordings, like our traditional live events.
Yeah.
And I think it's only Perth where there are tickets available now, I think. But please still come along. Come and say hi. We want to make as much noise as possible. We've got some amazing things lined up for our trip there. Twiggy's now just woken up from her bed under the table and is sniffing Jackson on Tony's legs, I'm sure. But we're going to wrap things up there. So yeah, let us know. Car insurance, we really want to hear from you, what's been going on with you and car insurance quotes. In the meantime, if you want to keep up with what Tony's getting up to, he's at Tony Grawood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass. We'll be back with you next week with our live episode from Podium, and then you'll be joining us for our big adventure down under. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.